If you would, go ahead and take your Bibles back out as we finish up Daniel chapter 1 this morning. This series has been titled, God is Good All the Time, and I'm so thankful that He is. Our main lesson that we've carried with us through this series of messages is this: even in times of trial and opposition, when it looks like God is not in control, He is. And His goodness is overflowing for His people. I don't know if you know this, but there are many stories of divine providence in the American Revolution, such as the fog of Brooklyn Heights in August of 1776, or the miraculous weather at Trenton in December of 1776, and then, of course, the divine providence of that covered General George Washington's immunity, as it's called. In multiple battles, George Washington's immunity to enemy gunfire seemed entirely supernatural, and I believe that it was. During the French and Indian War, long before the Revolution, he had two horses shot out from under him and four bullet holes in his coat, yet he was unharmed, untouched. During the American Revolution, such close calls continued. At the Battle of Brandywine and in other skirmishes, musket balls tore through his clothes and shredded his cape, but he was never wounded. These repeated close encounters deeply convicted his contemporaries and even Washington himself that he was being preserved by divine providence for a greater purpose. And remember, divine providence is speaking of the invisible hand of the God of the Bible. And I would say they were correct. As we know, General George Washington went on to become this nation's first president. Now, just to put a little plug in, Alice and I saw the movie Thursday, Young Washington. If you get a chance to see that movie, I would encourage you to see it. It's well done and a very moving story of General George Washington as a young man. Well, in Daniel chapter 1, we can also see divine providence at work in the lives of these four young Jewish boys who are exiled to Babylon, where it was God who gave King Nebuchadnezzar the victory over Israel. It was God who gave these four Jewish boys favor in the sight of their enemy. And this morning we learn it was God who gave them success to graduate at the top of their class and capture the eye of the king, King Nebuchadnezzar. They too, like Washington, had a divine immunity. It is the continued work of God's invisible hand, His divine providence during their lives in Babylon, and also during the American Revolution in Washington's immunity. And even in our lives today, it illustrates the goodness of God to His people all the time, and that our lives are well covered in His divine providence. We are in His hands and in His keeping. And I'm so thankful for that as good news. So here's the first lesson we've learned as we've studied Daniel chapter 1. We, just so you guys know, we have started a new series of messages. We're going through the book of Daniel on Sunday mornings, and we've been in Daniel chapter 1. And this is a brief review of what we've learned already in Daniel chapter 1. We've learned first this, that the goodness of God can be seen in the victory of King Nebuchadnezzar in verses 1 through 2. Next, we see that the goodness of God can be seen in the favor Daniel and his friends were given in verses 3 through 16. And so that brings us to point number 3 in this series of messages about these four young Jewish boys graduation day. And what we learn is this: the goodness of God can be seen in the success Daniel and his friends were given. Let me solidify verses 17 through 21 in your mind once again as we see this truth in God's Word. Look with me there. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 19. And the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. In verse 21, and Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. Once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning for your presence in our life. For you are a God who is close and near to your people. That everything is working according to your divine will. Because you are sovereign over all things. As we learned in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, you are Lord, which is translated from the Hebrew word Adonai, which means master of all. And surely we have seen already from our study that you are master of all. And it would behoove us as a nation, as a church, as Christian people, to understand that it is you who are Lord and Master, and that we need to bow to your will and your word. And so, Father, we thank you for this valuable lesson. We thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us even now that we are in your hands, that you bring prosperity and calamity, you bring light and darkness, you give life and you take life, and you establish our days. You establish the very place that we live and where we've grown up, the very people we come in contact with, the work that we do, and we praise you. And so, Lord, this morning I just pray that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a taste for this treasure of your infallible, inerrant word. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen. Now, for the third time in chapter 1 of Daniel, we learn God gave. God gave. Recall with me. The first time we saw this was in verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. That is, into the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar. And that was a good thing. The second time we saw that God gave is in verse 9, where it says that God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs, his very enemy. And then this morning in verse 17, we see those words once again as these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So what we're seeing here is the divine providence, the sovereign hand of God in the raising up of nations and in the taking down of nations so that he is in control on a global scale, even today, all powers answer to his authority on earth. They always have, they always will be on a global level, but also on a personal, individual level. We see that the invisible hand of God is at work in the very details of these four Jewish boys' lives. So that in all things, we are in the hand of God. And he is in control of all things. Even when it looks like he's not, he is in control. And things are going exactly as he had planned for them to go. And so as we move on with that verse, verse 17, we learn it was by the hand of God working in the best and brightest sons of Israel that made them successful. Now, let me explain that just a little bit more. As I said, in the Bible tells us, these were the best and brightest that Israel had to give. But that means nothing apart from the hand of God at work in their lives. It was the hand of God that brought them success. That's what the Bible says. He gave them success. Now, their exile to Babylon, their favor with Aspenaz, and their ability to learn and gain skill in all literature and wisdom, verse 17, God gave them. And God gave Daniel, did you notice, an extra measure of his divine blessing. For God gave Daniel, verse 17, understanding in all visions and dreams. And for those of you who have studied the book of Daniel and who have read in the book of Daniel, you know just how important that extra divine blessing that God gives Daniel to be able to understand visions and dreams will come into play. You see, God knows the end from the beginning because he's been there already. And he knows exactly what these boys needed to be successful in a pagan land amongst a pagan people. So, how much did you notice? How much divine blessing did God lavish on these four Jewish boys? Did you notice? The Bible says in verse 20, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all of his kingdom. And he had a vast kingdom, a vast kingdom. And God blessed them with 10 times the wisdom and the understanding that anyone else had. You know, isn't it true that our God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills? He has unlimited resources, unlimited power, unlimited authority, and the ability to do all that he pleases with the peoples of the earth. And we get to learn that lesson later in Daniel, not from a Jew, but from a pagan king, who understands the control that he didn't have, but that God, the God of the Jewish boys, did. Don't ever think that God doesn't have what we need to be successful at what he has made us to be successful at. He does. And he brings it when we need it and how we need it through what means we need it. Just like he did these three Jewish boys. They were miles ahead of all the magicians and enchanters that were in all of his kingdom, verse 20. Hallelujah. God's not just God in Israel, but he's God in Babylon. And nothing can thwart his rule and reign. So God had set them apart, and even King Nebuchadnezzar had noticed it. Now, knowing King Nebuchadnezzar, he probably thought that he had something to do with it. But we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was all the masterful work of the master of all, Adonai, the Lord. And God will use the gift he gave Daniel in every matter of wisdom and understanding, and in understanding all visions and dreams. You remember what King Nebuchadnezzar tried to do to these four Jewish boys? He tried to indoctrinate them. He tried to deprive them. He tried to assimilate them. He tried to reorient them so that he and his three friends would become Babylonians. And as we can see, and as we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, God used that for his good purposes. And he can, because God is good all the time. God is showing us in the success that he gave Daniel that he is over every form of Babylonian wisdom and literature, and he's over all of that they purpose to do. He is over all things. And I'm here to tell you, he's over all things today as well. Amen and amen. And the truth of the matter is, as we've seen so far, that they could not turn Daniel and his friends into pagans. God would keep them in the palm of his hand and protect them and bless them in the midst of this pagan land. The last verse in chapter 1 of Daniel gives us a snapshot view of God's plan for Daniel's future. Verse 21 says, and Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. Now, Daniel, as we know from this verse in studying the book of Daniel, he would remain God's ambassador his entire life in the midst of this pagan land. Daniel would never go back home. Even though the people of God did get to go back home, Daniel would choose to stay in this pagan land and be God's ambassador to these pagan people. Daniel, the Bible tells us that Daniel remained right where the Lord placed him up through the reign of King Cyrus. You know, I see Daniel as a soldier, and he was assigned to his post, and his post was to be the colonel of God's army in a pagan land. And until God would move him from that post, he would remain faithful to stay at that post and be the mouthpiece of God and the representative of God in a pagan land. Do you ever think that Daniel ever thought, Lord, what am I doing here? He's human. Do you ever think that? Does that question ever go across your mind? Lord, what in the world are you doing and why am I here? Well, be a Daniel. Stay at your post. Do what you know you should do and not what you know you shouldn't do until the Lord gives you another charge, another command. Remain faithful right where you're at and prosper there under the divine purposes of God. Now, knowing that Daniel was there until the reign of King Cyrus, what does that historical peg tell us? Well, it tells us a number of things. First, it tells us that Daniel would have been given influence over not just King Nebuchadnezzar, but Darius, Belshazzar, and King Cyrus. During his lifetime, he would hold influence over four pagan kings. Some theologians have estimated that Daniel was exercising influence from age 15 until he may have been in his 80s when he received the revelation of Daniel's chapter 10 through 12. We don't know when Daniel died. We just know when he lived. We know that he was still around during King Cyrus' third year, according to Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. Under Cyrus' reign, he saw God's prophetic words spoken through Jeremiah the prophet fulfilled. And that was in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. It says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place." He was there when Israel was sacked, and he was there when Israel was restored, all according to the divine word of God. And we know that God will always fulfill his word. He'll always do what he says he'll do. He saw his people freed. He saw his people freed and go back home, but he himself did not return to Jerusalem. By God's providential hand, he outlasted his conquerors, one author says. From 605 BC, when he was exiled, up through 537 BC, that is the third year of King Cyrus, Daniel was God's man, resolute, uncompromising in a pagan land, remaining there for God's purposes. And my friends, that was not an easy life to live. For all those long, challenging years, he ran with the pack without becoming a wolf. He is the example for all of God's people, what it is to be in the world, but not of the world. And by God's grace, like Daniel, we too can bring a godly influence into the midst of the enemy's camp. Like Daniel, we can be a light in dark places, all by the divine favor of God. The Bible tells us it is God who brings nations to power, and it is God who topples them. In church family, I don't need to tell you this. Probably you already know there is a sick poisoning in our land today. And if there's a nation that's going to survive, it is going to have to be a nation who turns back to God. And more so than that, it's going to have to be the people of God who refuse to bow to the pagan powers in this nation and will not compromise and remain resolute in their desire to follow the Lord no matter what. You know, I believe that the signers of the Declaration of Independence understood exactly what we're learning in Daniel chapter 1, that it is God who brings nations to power and it is God who topples nations. The founding fathers, they believed, it says, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence from the Declaration of Independence, the colonies could gain their freedom from a tyrannical king. And I believe that we are right there where they were then. We know at least 55 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Bible-believing, church-going Christian men. That's what they believed. They were not deists, they were theists. They were not Muslims, they were Christians. The founding document of the United States of America, the Declaration of Independence, is not a deist declaration. It's not a Muslim declaration. It is a Christian declaration of independence, written by Christian men, knowing that it would be by divine providence, and only by divine providence, that they would win their freedom from the tyrannical king, King George III of England. Now, we learn from Daniel, we look back and know the end from the beginning, and we look back 250 years ago yesterday, knowing that these 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence and declared the freedom of these United States from King George. And we know those signers were Daniels in their own right, resolute, uncompromising in their decision for freedom. And most, as we know, paid a high price for that pursuit. But thanks be to God, 250 years later, America is still one nation under God. The question is, will we keep it? One nation under God. As President Reagan said, it only takes one generation. And I'm afraid we're into that generation, maybe the second. And we need to get this back on the road and out of the ditch. And like Daniel of old, the signers of the Declaration of Independence, we still need Christian people to run this country, to stand firm for this country's beliefs, who are resolute, uncompromising, willing to take the risk and step out on faith, trusting in divine providence in the midst of a burgeoning pagan land. We need to exercise godly influence as Daniel and his three Jewish friends in all areas of life, beginning with our family, within our churches, at work, in sports, and in government, just to name a few. Will we decide that we will be the Daniels of our day for the glory of God and the good of this nation all the days of our lives? The goodness of God can be seen in the success Daniel and his friends were given. And let's remember, church family, that even in times of trial and opposition, when it looks like God is not in control, He is. And His goodness is overflowing for His people. Now, I want to close this morning with the lyrics from our invitation hymn that teaches us really about the goodness of God and the providence of God that we have learned about in Daniel chapter 1. It goes like this: be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. Now, let me stop before I read the third stanza and then refrain. Because I want you to know that I am not speaking to the person next to you. I'm speaking to you. And no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what toil or trial God sends your way, He will take care of you. Third stanza. No matter what may be the test, God, say it with me, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. And I could hear those four Jewish boys saying, Amen, Pastor David. Amen. God is good all the time. And our lives are in His hand.